Perfil FM. Joining us to unpack what could happen to a minor child in the absence of a last will, this as we continue conversations around National Wills Week, is the practice head of the Trusts and Estates Practice at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr, Alison Alexander. Miss Alexander, good evening and thank you so much for your time.
Good evening, Benita. It's lovely chatting to you.
Just by way of context, Alison, and we have had introductory conversations around this, but it's important in terms of the importance around having and drawing up a last will and testament.
I would say absolutely essential because of the consequences of not leaving one. Last will and testament is important for very many reasons, but the main reason is that you actually get to decide how your assets are divided amongst your heirs.
What happens if one's partner passes away without a will and there isn't a marriage? What happens in that instance?
It's a very, very tragic situation, one that I see often in my office. In terms of current legislation, the life partner, as opposed to the married partner, does not inherit anything. And that puts the partner and possibly minor children, etc., in a very precarious position because the partner does not have any legal rights.
Has that not changed or shifted somewhat owing to recent constitutional court rulings, Alison?
The Constitutional Court in 2020 already in the Banya case ruled that amendments to legislation needed to be made to ensure that a life partner would have the same status as a spouse. However, the court held that it would be best for Parliament to decide how to define a life partner, because there are no guidelines, and thus far we have not seen anything from Parliament.
So it is as it was prior to that Constitutional Court ruling, that if you are not married to your life partner who you've been with for 20, 30, however many years, you are not entitled to that his or her estate should they pass?
That is the way the law is, because as I say, government has not changed that. There was a case of many years ago where a life partner of about 15 years tried to claim, and the court said that if you want the benefits of marriage, then you must get married. Recently, the court has said we need to re-look at this and address it. But because how do you define a life partner? You know, how many years, those sorts of things. Parliament needs to set out the criteria to clarify what a life partner is, etc., and that has not been done.
So one has to be married in order to be entitled to your spouse's estate should the spouse pass away. And is that marriage, does it matter in terms of the gender of the marriage?
No, the gender of the marriage, which is called a civil union, is not relevant at all.
Okay, good. What happens to minor children in the absence of a will?
If there is no will, two things arise. The one is that there is the Intestate Succession Act, which then, in the absence of you choosing your heirs, steps in and has a formula which dictates how your estate is divided up. And so if there is a spouse and children, the legislation says that the assets are divided equally between the spouse and the children. So say you have a spouse with three children, the estate is cut into four, and each person is entitled to inherit a quarter. But because the children are minors, their portion, if the estate is cash, goes into the guardian's fund. There is no will protection where normally you would create a trust for those children until they reach the age of majority.
Yes.
So the money goes into the guardian's fund, which is run by the various masters. And basically you're going to have to go and request funds every month or as and when you need it. And it is cumbersome, it is slow, and so your children are going to suffer.
In the instance of no will being left, can one claim in that situation?
Yeah, now the spouse and the children have a maintenance claim, and you would need an actuary to calculate the maintenance claim of the spouse and the children. It is calculated in accordance with, you know, the lifestyle that they had when the deceased was alive, and now sort of calculating forward what the estimated lifetime is of the spouse and the children, you then come to a figure that you can put in as a claim against the estate.
But one can avoid all of this simply by drafting a valid will at the outset, because sorting out these complications after someone's passed can be time-consuming and costly.
It's very time-consuming. It's very costly. It's also very traumatic. And I see it so often, women who have been life partners and their spouse passes. I don't know why, it's mainly women. And then they are left with children to support, and they have to go through this thing where also the person who died hasn't appointed an executor, someone who's going to administer his estate and carry out his wishes. So now you're dealing with someone that the masters may be appointed, who may not necessarily regard your interest as paramount.
Mm.
And so it becomes, I have a matter at the moment where there's sort of a mother fighting against a life partner. And it becomes extremely traumatic because you've had a terrible loss. And now you still have to deal with worrying about finances and, you know, litigating if necessary. So it's terrible to see that happen with people all the time.
Lastly, Alison, are there any considerations when drafting and validating a will that we need to bear in mind?
Well, the legal process still has to be followed. So you need to sign your will in the presence of two witnesses who must not be mentioned in the will as beneficiaries, nor should the person who drafts the will be a beneficiary. And those witnesses must be competent to sign the will. And it needs to be preferably dated in case the person has done, you know, one or more wills over the years. And then, of course, you would appoint your executor, your person who you trust to carry out your wishes. You would nominate your heirs. You would ensure that everything is done in accordance with your wishes. And obviously, then you would appoint a guardian for your children. If none of the parents is alive, you would ensure that the children's money is put in a testamentary trust so that the executor can manage that and, you know, deal with the day-to-day requirements of the children. And you just avoid the time and the trauma of having to have all this extra stuff to deal with, because the death itself is so traumatic.
Alison Alexander, practice head of the Trust and Estates practice at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr. Appreciate you joining us, and thank you so much for the advice and insights, Alison. Thank you for being a part of the conversation this evening.